Well,
I got a
here we go.
headache.
You've got
I got
a
a headache.
headache.
Yeah.
You got a dicky head.
What did you call me?
A dicky head.
Nasty.
Oh, well, I had a dicky head over the weekend as well, I must be honest. I don't know what's up with me. Illness.
What is wrong with us? I think, you know what? We've got Big Brother fatigue.
This is it. It's I think it's
BBF.
commitment, you know. When you're committed to something every damn day and you wake up every morning and say, this is what I do, I have to have this. You've got to expect it.
We've only got we let's enjoy it. We've only got 5 days
I know,
left.
I know. But it's going to be a good week. I'm really excited. I feel like as we
We
ramp up
sound
to
like we're in the bloody house.
we're in the bloody wars.
I tell you.
Should we dissect?
Do you want to roll the titles?
I'll roll the titles.
Go on, darling. Fancy another pod with Bally Singh and Brett
Harris, a Gaydio original podcast. Hello!
Sorry, hello!
I'm laughing, I'm in a good mood. It's Monday, it's the final week.
Shut up.
Happy St. Patrick's Day!
It was yesterday.
I know, but we're going to see it tonight, aren't we?
Oh yeah, we are.
Do you know
are.
What? They've missed a trick there. Whoever the
Go
producers
on.
Are, because they're going to be like, it's St. Patrick's Day. And it's going to be like, people have passed it on the Monday. They should have done it on Sunday.
Well, to be fair, I mean, it is St. Patrick's Day bank holiday in Ireland today. So, fair play.
Well, fair enough to him. Fair enough to him.
If you're Irish and you're listening, happy St. Patrick's Day. There you go.
Thank
you. It's St. Patrick's Day Boxing Day.
Yeah. St. Patrick's Boxing Day. Well, there we go. Right, let's talk about yesterday's episode. Lots going on. My favourite moment was Fern awkwardly peeling potatoes opposite Nikita after it was revealed that he'd nominated her three times and then she stormed off.
She petrified. Petrified. Not only did she storm off, she was like, oh, was he a chocolate? I'm eating it. Fuck it.
Fern!
Breaking the rules, are we?
I'm going to be honest. Here we go. It's a safe space, isn't it, this?
Well, yeah.
Reasonably. I think Nikita was a little bit rude. I think he's a bit rude towards Fern. I think he's decided that he doesn't like her. And
I want to know why, though. I need to know why.
I just think they're just not on that same connection.
I have a theory, but I can't share it on here.
Really?
It's a really wild theory. It's no way true, but in my head it's
go on
happened.
Go on, I want to know like your head canon.
No, we can't share it on here because I'll get sued.
Okay, it's like yesterday's.
It's one
stop,
of them.
Stop the recording.
I'll share it with you later.
Okay. I think there's a dislike there. I don't know why. And do you know what? People in life sometimes just don't get on. Like, you know, me and you, we're not friends. We're more colleagues,
yeah,
aren't
colleagues,
we?
Yeah, colleagues, yeah. Like, after this call, like, piss off. Fern seems quite warm and, like, chatty. But, as Ekin Su said, you only see however many minutes.
You do, but do you know what? This is the thing that surprises me, right? Every time, well, when Nikita nominated Fern in the face-to-face and there was the revelation of the continued sustained nomination since the start, Bradley and David's reaction is always like, what? Like, they both can't believe that he's nominating Fern. So I think he's just got... I just don't think he speaks much to Fern. And I also think because he's had, like... He is in with the young ones, whether or not she's just grouped in.
I think as well, pecking order wise, he gets on with everyone else.
Yeah.
Like, no one's going to nominate Marisha. Is it Marisha or Marisha? We need to correct this. I always get confused. And I think he gets on with ZZ a lot. The boys, he's definitely not going to nominate.
Yeah.
Louis, he's nominated. And then Fern's just there. Because he has nominated Ekin-Su in the past. She's gone. Pretty sure he nominated Lawrence. She's gone. Who's left? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So maybe it is just a case of like who... Who he gets on with, or he's just a massive misogynist. Either way, no, I'm joking. I think he's pretty lovely. I do just think it is that he just doesn't get on with. Fern.
All right, we are in a safe space, and I just think he's very aware of what he's doing and how he's being portrayed. We saw it with the Wagwan comment. He was quick to, like, uncancel himself.
Yeah,
and I just think maybe he thinks people don't like Fern, and he's like, "Fuck it, I'm going to nominate her." Little does he know.
We've had the finesse. We're living through finesse, as we say.
And he's nominating Mother.
I know.
But yeah, like, no one's going to hate him for it. Whatever. Crack on. He's lovely. And you know, but I really don't want him to win. I really don't want him to win.
I think we're seeing a lot moving kind of on from that. We're seeing a lot of kickback about the production and how manufactured the series feels. And I think going into a fairy tale theme, and there's the constant revealing of who's nominating who, and then revealing conversations that happen in the diary room. I don't think when it feels constant, it doesn't feel like a twist or a turn. It becomes expected, and therefore I think it becomes like a, oh, like, I felt like there was a little bit of that watching it last night. I really loved Civilian Big Brother, but there seems to be, at every nomination, a twist. It's not a twist if every time there's something happening.
Yeah, I think we've only had three nominations, haven't we, the series?
Mm-hmm.
And all of them have had so-and-so gets picked for this, so-and-so doesn't get this, or punishment, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there was time for there to be a normal nominations. But I think in the last week, I don't think it matters if, like, things get announced about what happened in the diary room or who nominated who. It's the last week.
No, I agree. I just feel like it's happened, like, throughout the whole series. And I think it probably would have been nice to have had 2 weeks of normal nominations, normal evictions, none of this, like, oh, five are going to be up for eviction. I just think it should be the top two, and if there's a draw, there's three. Like, if we'd kept some sort of standard, because I also think for a casual viewer that they're trying to reintroduce it to ITV1, they're tuning in, they don't know what's going on. It just makes it hard to keep up with from the off. And I think, you know, this is a real chance to advertise the civilian version when that comes back next year.
Well, I do think, like, last year's Civilian, this year's Celebrity Big Brother, first time it's been on ITV, I think they are just experimenting with what works and what doesn't. Mm-hmm. I do hope that the civilian one does keep the same length this year and it is in the winter again, because I think it worked really, really well.
No, scheduling-wise, yeah.
I think with CBB, I think maybe make it a little bit longer, maybe make it a month. And then, yeah, I agree. Less twists and turns.
Yeah.
I think it 3 weeks feel a bit fake.
I think the 2.5 weeks, it just feels a little bit like of a cop-out. It maybe should have been like 3.5, but I think it'll increase. I think we're going to have the civilian one being 7 weeks the winter, and I think that is a good amount of time. But I also, what I really like about the lack of nominations and the fact that it is a shorter series, it means that actually there's less chance to be evicted, which means that if you are evicted, I think it means so much more, because you don't want to be one of few housemates that are evicted.
Well, we said this earlier on, like, I kind of enjoy Celebrity Brother if they did it a bit like I'm a Celeb.
Mm-hmm.
They keep them all in until the last week and a half, and they just
double eviction Monday to Friday.
Every night, get one out. I think that's the way they should do it, because then we get to keep our favourites in and we get to see a lot more of them, because I know no one really cared for Gary, but he was gone after, like, 5 days? Mm-hmm. 3 days?
Yeah.
So it would have been nice to see them all in there for 2 weeks, and then the last 10 days, get one out every day.
But I think that's the good thing with the civilian. I think they should do that. They should have a weekly eviction, no doubles, normal weekly eviction. You get rid of six. That leaves you with, what, about 8 people left in the final week, and then an eviction every single day with the final four.
Well, there is an eviction tomorrow. I don't know if it's a double, you know. They haven't announced that.
They're going to have to.
It's got to be in it, unless they do a double and then maybe a backdoor on Wednesday or Thursday. And then obviously the finals on Friday.
Listen, we need to talk about Louis Walsh. He is giving the most at the minute. The male Kim Woodburn.
That we say Kim Woodburn, every time we have her on the show or on the station, we do get, like, a lot of kickback from people saying, she's done this, how dare you have her on? And I think Louis Walsh is the same. A lot of people, how are you supporting Louis Walsh when da-da-da-da-da? It's like, look. He's a great housemate.
I'm the king.
I'm the king. He's a great entertainment value. Great entertainment value.
I make the final decision. No, you don't, Louis. Yeah, Drew.
You know, I cannot wait for him to be on Late in Live and just see.
Oh, he's going to be brilliant.
Everyone says to him. Talking of Late in Live.
Yes.
Obviously, Friday's Late in Live. Still on about it. People are still banging on about it. And someone who was there in the audience is a journalist and writer for The Tab, Harrison Brocklehurst.
And we had a chat with him. We got him on.
We had to get him on. We needed that Late in Live tea.
Oh, and here's our chat from Harrison earlier today. Harrison, thank you for joining us on Fancy Another Pod. Have you been glued to your screen?
I've always been glued to my screen. This is like my favourite show of all time. So, of course.
Well, you weren't glued to your screen on Friday night, darling. You were glued to the bloody seat of the Late and Live audience.
I was glued to the screen that's that big, that's on the other side of the screen that you squint at, yeah.
What a Late and Live to be part of as well. We're gonna get into it. I need the behind the scenes tea. What was it like?
Have you guys ever been before or not?
No. I've been to, I went to like the old one back in the day with Davina. Yeah. I know that's how classic I went, but I've never been to Late Alive.
It's weird, like it's so regimented that like I don't know what I was expecting, because I've never been in the audience for any show before, so it was all really new to me. You get there, you get your phone locked in this like little pouch thing with like a bolt on it, which is bizarre, and then you get like put in like a little holding room that looks like the worst office you've ever been in your life, where they like then that's when you're like waiting for them to kind of search everyone, and then I was on like a guest list queue, so I had like guaranteed entry, but some people come and they don't even get in, so that's a bit stressful. So, and then we go and get sit down. Then they move everyone around by like clothes or who they think should be sat with each other to like optimize, I guess, how it looks on camera. We saw like AJ and Will filming like a little bit of a kind of, you know, when it's they do the kind of tonight on Late in Life kind of situation. We did like sort of practice of that. There's like a warm-up guy who comes out and like tries to get everyone hyped.
Did you feel hyped?
Oh, I felt hyped. And then they gave out water and like cartons, and then they gave out cans of wine. That was and then at one point they gave out like gummy sweets, which I didn't know what that was all about. They were like,
they weren't like edibles, were they?
They were like fake Haribos. And then, but like, because you obviously can't have any packets or like bottles or cans or whatever on screen, they're like, come on with a bin bag every time. And you're like shoving these gummy. I was sat next to Ekinsu's friend and she was like, why have they given us these? I was like, I have no clue. We were just like,
well, let's get into Ekinsu because we need to talk about, because you're a massive Ekinsu fan. Do you feel let down?
Of course. Of course, like it's really, you know, I'm actually in the trenches at the moment. I've been so public about my love for Ekinsu for like 2 years. And now I remember at the start of the series when she did like the Where's Kate thing and everyone was like living for it. And I was like, I'm so grateful that people who like never seen Love Island get to see how iconic she is. And now it's just like, ugh.
Well, I was gutted with Ekinsu because that series of Love Island was the first one I never watched. I was like, I've got to get out of the Love Island trap now. Yeah. And when everyone was talking about it, I was like, damn, I really look like I've missed a really good series. And even Brett was a massive Ekinsu fan. Both of you were like, yes, you're going to get to see like the magic. And I'm a bit like,
do you know, it's not that I'm not a fan of Ekinsu. I think it's more the fact that I think she's completely missed the mark going in. I think she's tried to do what she's done in every other reality show where it's expected. But Big Brother is, you just got to be you, I think.
It's definitely that. I think also the fact that like on Love Island, she really stood out as someone who was, I think because that show is filled with like the same kind of Molly Mae girlies that everyone's quite like cookie cutter the same. Like they like the same kind of nights out. They go to the same bars. They like the same lads. Whereas Ekinsu was always kind of a bit drama student-y. She's always been quite theatrical, like a bit camp. And I think on that show, she stood out so much as like a unique person who was making drama, but also really likable. Whereas I feel like on Love Island, she kind of, I feel like she'd like kind of fell in with the wrong crowd, but she was like playing up to this like older people's kind of moral compass rather than, and then like the stuff she was saying was coming out really clunky and I was like, oh God.
Mm. So do you think it was the edit? Do you agree with Ekinsu? Do you think it was the edit?
I don't think it was the edit, but I do think that people's reactions is disproportionate to like what actually happened. For sure.
Well, let's talk about what happened on Late in Life, because people are calling for Leighton Williams to apologize, calling him a bully. People are calling for AJ and Will to be sacked. It's like, calm down, everyone. You were actually there. What was the vibe like in the studio once the camera stopped rolling?
I think the vibe was definitely tense. Like, it felt a bit. I think what you couldn't really hear on the thing, apart from a couple of bits, is like Ekinsu's mum was like heckling. Like, she was like gagging to be spoken to and like say what she had to say. So, like, I do think that Leighton came across blunt, but I don't think it was bullying. And I think what he said was very valid because, like, obviously, Sue hadn't said, like, hadn't seen anything yet. But, I mean, it was clearly tense. Like, no one was really agreeing with her. I think it was just a bit overwhelming. But as I was saying in work this morning, actually, like, I think that since being there, I really underestimate how intense it must be for them to come out. They've heard nothing. They've had no, like, feedback or of what people think, apart from hearing some boos and then getting evicted, like and then to come out of it and get interviewed straight away with the crowd who aren't on your side, it must just be like the weirdest thing, especially coming from someone who's won a reality show and everything else she's done hasn't really had the same liveness, like
I don't know if it was you that tweeted, but someone tweeted who was there said that Ekinsu's mom was kind of briefing her like quickly during the gap between coming out and then Late in Life. Do you think that was detriment to her? Like, she just had her ears filled with so much that she just panicked and didn't know how to react.
Maybe, yeah. Like, literally, like, I was on the friends and family row, so it was, like, Levi's friends and family and Ekinsey's and me, so I could literally hear that debriefing going on. It was hushed tones and it was stress, but I don't know if that was helpful. I feel like maybe the parents and, Ekin's mum and her friend should have just been, like, keep it a bit chill, but, yeah. Yeah.
Stressful.
Stressful time. Stressful time. Well, let's move on from Ekinsu now to the rest of the lineup. And we've had a golden week of Celebrity Big Brother with Sharon Osbourne and Louis Walsh. Do you think they're value for money in the series?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, how could you not? I think I was really nervous that they were both going to say something that was like instantly cancelable, like their need to leave. But they've actually just been kind of like little gossip merchants and dropping like, I love how unfiltered they are. Like, it's just so refreshing. For me,
well, Sharon's the queen of PR. I think she knew exactly what she was doing in there. Like, everything she said was like, yep, this is what I'm going to say, how I'm going to say it, this is who I need to talk to. But Louis, I don't think he knows where he is. I don't think he realises that
I'm the king.
24/7.
I'm the king.
You know what is so funny though? Like, this is why I can't be too mad at him, because he can take anything towards him on the chin. Like, when people don't like him, when he's getting, he's like, all right, whatever. So when he's giving out like the nasty comments and stuff, I actually just back it, because if he gets it back to him, he can take it as well. So I just, I'm like, it's just fun watching him kind of do what he needs to do.
Do you think he was quite shocked at some of the boos that he got on Friday night? Because I think he's very, I think Brett, you said this on one of the episodes over the weekend, he's very like, very aware of like the panto booing that he used to get on X Factor, and like his character's always been booed because it's just always based on a decision. But this time, it's just him getting booed on his character and his personality and everything that we've seen. Do you think he felt a bit gutted?
I honestly don't. And I think, like Brett was saying, his persona on X Factor was already kind of like that. But watching him in the house, it's always like he's in judge mode anyway. I think it's just kind of who he is. Mm. Like, he's so ready for it because he's just been giving it out for so long. He
was born to be a judge.
And it's weird because Sharon, I didn't feel like that. Like, she didn't feel like a judge all the time. Whereas Louis feels so like, he's always feels like he's talking about putting them through to boot camp at all times. Like,
I kind of feel like Louis Walsh is a bit like a little Britain character. And I feel a lot of them are like this, where he's been a judge and he's gone through his life being an X Factor judge for the rest of his life, even though he's not working on X Factor.
He'll go down the post office.
Yeah.
Be like, I need a stamp, but only one of you will be able to give me stamps this morning.
It is like that, it is. But you know what? I think what I really took away from both of them in the house is I don't think either of them expected to kind of be as fond of people in there as they have been. Like, I genuinely think that, like, those little moments when Sharon was dancing with Bradley, like, that was so sweet. And I think Louis has got a big soft spot for a lot of them too. Like, even when he was arguing with Zizi last night, I think he does like her. She was getting pissed off and he was like, I like it.
I think Louis Walsh just hates everyone and then has these little bits of moments where it's like, oh, I quite like you actually. I'm like, make your mind up. But have you heard about the twist that's going to happen in tonight's episode?
Is it the one where like Fern has to say she's evicting someone?
Yeah, so they're celebrating St. Patrick. Brett, I think I told you this last night in a voice note. So they're celebrating St. Patrick's Day. A random housemates get calls to the diary room and there's a pot of gold with a snake on it. Big Brother tells the housemate, Fern, put this snake on someone's pillow. They're going to get evicted straight away. And it's like gaggy. I'm like, oh my God. But then on Late in Live last night, AJ said the housemate that does get evicted isn't actually getting evicted. They're actually given immunity and a pass to the final.
I know who this is.
Oh, do you know? Has it been announced?
It's not been announced, but there's been a clip from the diary room that has been released with that housemate with a four-leaf clover.
Do you want to tell us or...
Lulu.
But the thing is, like, I do think it's a bit... The producers are going overboard here. I think we need to just like chill out and let Big Brother be Big Brother a bit. Like, why? I don't know if they're just prioritizing Louis' drama and trying to get him a fast pass to the final. Like, because obviously they're going to pick him to go.
They're going to want to get their money's worth, though, aren't they? That's what they're doing. And I think if Louis goes tomorrow, no one's going to really watch because there's not going to be no drama. I think they're clinging on to Zizi and Louis having an argument, the drama. And let's be real. It would just be happy, happy house if Louis
wasn't
there.
I just don't think it's a long enough series. I think 2.5 weeks isn't enough for people to have these full-on rows. But was I reading correctly that they've brought in some Channel 5 producers from the Celebrity versions to produce this?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know either.
Kind of stands to reason. A lot of twists.
I have really liked this series, though. Even though it's quite short, I think it was... For the housemates that are in there, I feel it was the correct amount of time. Because I think it would have got... If an extra week or two would have got quite boring... I think it's just been the right amount of time.
It's been good. I've like, it's weird because it's not had time to drag yet. Like, the fact it's over this week, like, it doesn't really feel like I've had to, you know, spend a lot of time like feeling like I'm tuning in all the time to something I'm not bothered about compared to other movies like Married at First Sight, where I'm like, bloody hell, I've been committed to this for like 2.5 weeks.
Well, yeah, Brett told me to watch Married at First Sight, and I saw how many episodes. I was like, no.
It's and also it's just like feels way more produced, obviously. Whereas I always love the like rawness of Big Brother, but it doesn't like the fast pass to the final feels like, oh my god, that's crazy. But then you realize the final's this week, and you're kind of just, oh okay.
So Harrison, I've got a question for you based on Sharon's decision for the star, and I think you'll give us an answer that's quite different from some of the other guests that we've had on the pod. The Ring of Fire, the Danger Zone. If you had to pick three people on first impressions, if you were in that house making that decision, who would have you put in the Danger Zone?
I'd have put Gary in because I'd have instantly been like, ugh.
You know what? Every time we ask this question, I'm like, let's just choose two because everyone's going to pick Gary at this point.
Oh, no, I feel like I might get attacked for this, but I'd have put Coulson in there because I think I hate him on Corey. Sorry, you
know what? I would have as well.
Coulson.
Who's Coulson? Don't mean Coulslaw.
Colster. Colchester at one point.
COVID.
Colchester.
But yeah, I wish Lauren had stayed as well for longer. Like, I'm sure everyone says that, but God, I really miss her presence in the house so much.
I really loved her in the last few days that she's in there. I was like, come on, Lauren, please stay there.
She just reminds me of any mum that's from Cheshire. Like, she's just every Cheshire mum rolled into one. Well,
literally, yeah, like, it's not far from me, that, and it's kind of like the similar kind of mums, like, people that my mum would be friends with. Like, it's so comforting to hear those, like, glam girls you'd find out in, like...
For me, it was the QVC-ness of a diary room. Like, I've got this website. It's like, you're meant to be nominated.
That was too good. It was too good.
What are your hopes then for the final, Harrison? Who do you think will be in the final four? Who do you want to win?
We need God Potts to win. That's what I want. I need David Potts winning. I absolutely love him. You know, I've always been a big fan of his like iconic pictures that like circulate of him. I never like fully sat down and watched like Ibiza Weekend or anything. So I think, and also there was a lot of love for him on Friday when I was there. And I think it's really nice seeing like a big flamboyant gay character who everyone's braced to find annoying be kind of like loved by people. And, you know, even if he is loud, he's still just like a good person who's, and he's so happy to be there. Like, how can you not want him to win? Nikita, I think, will win because I think there's a huge love for him, and I'd be happy to. I think he seems really lovely. Obviously, Louis is probably going to be in the final now, so Louis, but I'd have wanted him anyway. And yeah, I don't know who else.
I think going back to what you said about David, it's so lovely when you see a Big Brother fan. I think it goes back to like when Rylan was in the house.
Yeah.
Being a Big Brother fan, really just like look around and enjoy the experience because they are a Big Brother fan. I would really like to see David win as well, to be honest. I think it's going to be David, Nikita, and Bradley as final three.
Yeah, I feel like people love Coulson as well, even though I'm not asked that much. I think there's a lot of like.
It's the moms, isn't it? It's the Facebook moms.
Yeah.
The Corey fans, the Corey stans.
Corey fans, there's none left.
Harrison,
no one's watching it.
Thank you so much for joining us. Give it for Harrison, everyone!
Yay!
Thanks for having me, guys. We had such a good time.
Oh, spilling some tea with Harrison.
Behind the scenes tea from Later Life. I just love that behind the scenes gossip. I'm like, love it. Give me more.
Predictions for tonight's episode. We'll probably find out who the full list of nominees are going to be.
And yeah, tomorrow's eviction. I can't wait. I hope it's a double. And the thing is now that we've kind of got attached to a lot of them now, so I am going to be gutted whoever goes because all of them are providing something.
Just doesn't feel like a long enough series. This is the problem. I feel like Lauren went like ages ago. Realistically, it was only like a week and a half, but it doesn't give us many episodes to enjoy these people.
Out of the ones that are left, if it was a double tomorrow, who do you want to see go?
Ooh. Nikita. Really isn't doing it for me. I'm really sorry.
Nikita and Coleslaw for me.
I don't even know. I kind of really like Coleslaw.
Oh.
But out of the ones that are left, it probably would be him. I think he's quite a nice guy.
Yeah.
I really like Bradley.
I really like Bradley, but I think he's getting a really poor edit because we're not seeing a lot of him, and it's a shame because it feels like him and David are having the time of their lives.
Yeah.
And I want to see more of that. I want to see more of the funness. Like, when they're having fun, I'm cackling. I love it.
Well, the thing is, we're going to have a double eviction or a single eviction tomorrow. I think once we know who the finalists are, I think you'll start seeing it. Because Big Brother does have that effect, doesn't it? In the last 3 or 4 days, they're all having a good time. They're just having a laugh. Right. Should we do it again tomorrow?
We have to, darling.
See you then.
Fancy another pod with Bally Singh and Brett Harris, a Gaydio original podcast.
You know, every time you say coleslaw, I always think, like, what do you mean? I'm straight ahead. I was thinking about what do you mean with your Nando's?
Well, do you know what? There's this guy that I'm really into, like, TikTok recipes and stuff at the minute. And there's this guy that he does, like, really meaty dishes, but he does a lot of sides. And I'm not really big on, like, he'll, like, instead of doing a wrap, he'll, like, use chicken skin to wrap it. And I'm just being like, oh, it's a bit, like, too much like a dead body for me.
Yeah, that's awful.
But he does, like, really good sides. And he did, like, a homemade Nando's. And it was, like, he made his own shredded chicken, like, in a gyros, a gyros. Gyros?
Gyros. Yeah, I know what you mean.
But he did it with like some he mixed his own spices to do like a Nando's fries and did a homemade coleslaw. And he does chicken tender like burgers with homemade slaw. And it
I love coleslaw, man. I really do.
I love a coleslaw toasty. I know that's dead weird.
I've never thought of this.
Oh my God, Bally, you need to try it. Everyone looks at me like I'm a horror. Well, yeah, but it's not really, and it's almost like the taste of like the hot bread with the cold coleslaw.
No, I get that. I've had like a toasted sandwich with coleslaw, and I get it.
Fair it's enough. So nice, but I need to make you some homemade coleslaw. I make it all the time, you know.
How do you do it? Because I don't know, because it's not just mayonnaise, is it?
Well, you know I love a Sunday dinner, so you can use your leftovers from a Sunday dinner. So you'll have an onion, thinly sliced red onion, because the white one is a little bit too potent when it's not cooked. So red onion.
Yeah.
You can either go for red slaw or white slaw, but I actually prefer the consistency of white cabbage. So thinly sliced,
racist,
but you've got to. But you've got to.
It ain't white, it ain't right.
Well, yeah. and then, but you've got to cut it in a certain way so it all falls like really nice and
well,
thin.
Well, I've got one of those TikTok thingies.
No, they don't work. You need a knife, a nice sharp knife. And then. Grated carrot, but you don't want to go too crazy on the carrot because you don't want it to taste like carrot. It just gives it a little bit of consistency. Then mayo, full fat, none of this like light shit. A squeeze of lime, salt, pepper, mix it all together. You can put a bit of coriander. Cabbage. Yeah, cabbage. What's that mean? Mix it all together.
Do you know how to make... Sorry, this is turning into a food pod very quickly. Do you know how to make like the red cabbage stuff that you get on a carvery?
Yeah.
All right, give me the recipe because I need to know these white recipes.
You slice the red cabbage and you boil it off with ribena and hot water and then...
Fuck off, now you're taking the piss.
You do. Red cabbage, ribena.
Really?
Blackcurrant braised red cabbage. And then
how do you get that tangy tartness to it though?
And then you add butter. Because it's got blackcurrant is a bit tart, isn't it?
This is a revelation.
Yeah. If you Google now red cabbage ribena and go on images, it will look exactly like the ones that you get in a carvery.
For me, like the tartar, the better. Oh, I love it.
You love a
bit of that. I love that on a bit of toasted bread with a bit of pate. Yeah. Oh, stunning.
Oh, do you know what? You need to come around mine for a roast dinner. I do really good
not
roast.
Coming. Bye.